You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Never underestimate a woman born and raised in New York City.
A princess, but I'm definitely not a drama queen.
My success is built on making women look and feel their best.
Holla!
Yeah.
To some people, living elegant.
Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing, and tonight we are doing another After Buzz TV after show for the Real Housewives of New York City. Tonight I'll be your host, Molly Harper, and tonight with me I have the lovely co-host, Anna Koppel.
Hi.
Never underestimate your After Buzz TV hosts. That's what it should say at that intro, that very long intro.
There's a lot of intro. I feel like it gets longer every week.
It does. And I did mention that Bing is for doing, and this is what we're doing. So here we go. Tonight, it's just Anna and me, and we're missing Kristen and Yerman, unfortunately. They really wish they could be here to talk about the show with you all. Tonight, we're going to be covering Season 5, Episode 13, which is named Pirate Booty Call, so aptly named.
It's a great title.
And it certainly is. And so on last night's episode, we kicked off with the women going on a trip to St. Bart's. I don't really know how to pronounce it. Is it St. Bart with a T or a T-A? I mean, I know it's spelled B-A-R-T-H, but I feel uncomfortable pronouncing it.
Yeah, I am too. I don't think I'm really, like, I haven't traveled that much to the Caribbean. I mean, I've been several times, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I'm not clear. I keep hearing Bart, but...
Yeah, Barts.
I don't know.
I think so.
Who cares?
So I too have, you know, frequented the Caribbean all of twice in my life, and never on an island so beautiful or a hilly... Or no, I guess I've been three times. Jamaica counts as the Caribbean.
It does.
That's silly. I barely remember that trip. Anyways, so the women, to get to St. Bart's, had to take a very scary prop plane.
Right. And Carol, and this is, I feel kind of weird saying this, but she had said that being on this little plane triggers memories of her good friends, John and Caroline, dying. And I feel weird saying I found that a really classy moment because I feel like the Countess, for example, just name drops everywhere she can for really nobody's people. I have trouble. Who is that? I don't care. D-list and really like nobody's. But, you know, the Kennedys are kind of a big deal. Yeah. And the fact that she wasn't like, you know, JFK Jr. And so I really appreciated that about Carol in that moment.
I agree. She's a classy lady, I think. Yes. I mean, she spent a lot of her time in her life around some of the classiest people in American history, so it's no wonder she is. And I agree. And yet I felt sad in that moment watching her looking out the plane, because I'm sure that's what she thinks about every time she's on a plane.
Sure, sure.
Or any time one of her friends or family is on a plane, I'm sure the thought goes through her mind, just thinking about that horrible tragedy. So they get to... With all of that drama of the plane in store, they finally get to the house, which is... I literally kept pausing the TV, and I kept saying to my husband, you have to come in here and look at this house. You have to come in here. It was amazing.
And it was immaculate. Every room was bright white, I mean, I couldn't gorgeous. Keep one room clean for 3 minutes. I definitely would spill chocolate or something. I don't know.
Or there'd be like scuff marks all over the floor.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. And I think, you know, these are women who are in the upper echelon of New York City culture, and they were all just kind of gushing over it. And they were so impressed, which tells me that it was just as impressive, if not more, than it looked on TV.
Right.
With two infinity pools, really.
Right.
I was like, and then all of the women, they should have had Sonia and Ramona in one and all the rest in the other.
I totally agree. And I don't mean to jump all over the place, but I find it very strange that Sonia and Ramona always want to share a room.
I think it goes back to their college days, if I'm correct. I think they went to FIT together.
I was not aware of that.
I believe they did. I'm 99% sure of that, and I will verify that for you guys by next week. But I believe they went to FIT,
okay.
which is in New York City at the same time.
But whatever. They're now
no, they're grown
in
women.
Their like 40s or 50s, and yeah.
It's a little weird. I agree. And that was part of the fun of them arriving at the island, was seeing what rooms they were going to choose to stay in. And I found it comical that they were behaving like, they reminded me of how I behaved with my friends when I was 19 in college. Like, oh, let's get ready together. Let's do our hair together and our makeup together.
Right.
You know, as you grow up, you really could care less about doing those things with your friends. You just want to meet them at the destination.
Right. And not only that, but like, please give me 5 minutes alone. Yeah. Please. Just.
Yeah. It reminds me when I was little, my mom had a book called 5 Minutes Peace. And it was like, just all I need is just a few minutes each day of a peace. And I guess those women don't need it as much. I mean, well, Sonia has her interns, as we learned, live with her in her master bedroom.
They sleep with her in the same bed.
So maybe she's a little bit more needy than your average 40-something or 50-something.
I guess.
Have we decided how old we think Sonia is? I keep going 40 or 50-something because it's hard to tell. Of course, Sonia arrived in St. Bart's with another ridiculous headband, because this season seems to be not only about drama, but about showcasing every ridiculous headband known to man on Sonia's head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, don't you think headbands, like, you can't wear them past the age of 6? I mean, they're not really meant for adults.
Unless you're washing your face at night, then that's okay.
That's okay. Good point. I love that. So then, you know, everybody's choosing their bedroom, and then Carol and Heather headed down to the guest house and decided they would isolate themselves a little bit from the rest of the crowd and stay down there.
Which just reinforces how much I like them both.
I think it reinforces, because we're already on the same page that we agreed, I think, since day one that Carol was cool.
Yeah.
You were on Team Heather way before I was. I was on Team Anti-Heather. Now I do care for Heather a lot. I really do. Yeah, and I think that the fact that Carol chose Heather to stay down there with her says a lot about how cool Heather must be.
Right.
I feel like I just said the word Heather 10 times in one sentence.
It's all right. It's a Heather-heavy show.
It is.
I wonder how the dynamic's going to change once Aviva gets there. I mean, obviously, it looks great from the previews.
Yeah.
But not just with Reed being in the house, but with this extra energy of Aviva, which house is she going to stay in?
And yeah.
So I'm excited to see how that plays out.
I have a feeling she seems to be so buddy-buddy with Carol. I imagine that she would want to stay down there with Carol and Heather.
Yeah.
What did you think of when Carol was walking around the gardens and she said, oh my gosh, I just realized that this is the house I stayed in back in 1993.
I found it a bit strange mm-hmm. that she didn't realize that before.
I guess that they've done so much remodeling, it wasn't recognizable.
Well, I guess.
But from just judging from her blog, it seems like St. Bart's was a lot more simple back then. It wasn't as touristy or trafficy full of celebrities as it is now. I mean, it seems like from what I gather nowadays, it's kind of like a celebrity playground.
Right.
And it seems like from what I was reading in her blog, that back in 1993 when she was there with her husband, it was very simple, very kind of understated and a lot more rustic. It just seemed that way anyways. She said there were hens around in the garden. And
right, but isn't the property named the same?
Yes.
So
it's on Celine Street, I believe.
So I feel like that should have registered. I don't know.
She's probably got a lot going through her mind writing all those books and screenplays
right.
these days.
She's got a lot going on.
Maybe she can't keep it all straight. So I thought it was hysterical when Heather I mean, the glass was so clear.
Oh, my gosh.
And leading to the outdoors that when she walked through the door, the glass door.
Ran through.
And then, her nose really was bright red. I mean, that was not dramatic effect. It looked for real.
Yeah.
I don't think they use, what do you call it? Special effects in the show.
No. I felt really bad for her. I know. Because not only is that really painful, it's really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing to do in front of your girlfriends. It's really embarrassing to do in front of America. It's unfortunate.
It was
an unfortunate moment.
Well, one thing I'll say about Heather, though, as we got into them getting settled and everything, I thought she looked prettier than she's ever looked on the whole series in St. Bart's. She had a very natural kind of glowy look. She wasn't wearing very much makeup. And I thought she looked gorgeous.
I totally agree. And I think it's because she was wearing less makeup. And when we had her on the phone a couple of weeks ago, she had mentioned something to that effect that, you know, one of the things that she learned was about makeup. And sometimes you look like a prostitute during the day. And so, you know, less is more for Heather. Certainly.
I think it looks good on her. Go, Heather. We like you all natural. And I think she even said that sometimes with her makeup on when she watches, I think when she was watching that scene of them out to dinner in London, she said she thought she looked like a clown or something. Right. She had on that blue eyeshadow.
Right.
So then we get into the dinner the first night the women are there. And let's just say, I mean, the house is fully staffed. They have the chef, they have the butler, they have pink wine, they have red wine, they have white wine. So it's pretty impressive.
So Sonia shows up hammered to this first dinner.
I thought of you the whole time I was watching it because last week when you mentioned you thought Sonia might have a drinking problem and she's always red and flushed. I mean, have you ever seen her more red and flushed?
No, I mean, she was hammered.
She was hammered. And I actually, it made me feel a little bit sad watching her because I feel like she's unraveling.
Yeah. Oh, she is.
I think that her potential alcohol abuse is really kind of starting to be showcased in the show. And it seems like in every scene she is hammered and wasted. And it makes me a little bit sad and a little bit uncomfortable. And I feel like in this episode we started to see that it's making the other women uncomfortable.
Well, you know, Kristen and I have talked about this. Last season, Kelly Bensimone just had like a complete nervous breakdown, and it was really uncomfortable at some point to watch. Because at first it was amusing and like, oh, she's a disaster. But at some point, somebody has a real problem, it becomes uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sign up for that. I don't, it's not, you know, this is supposed to be entertainment and not to really see somebody's life fall apart.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't know someone or has gone through some sort of substance abuse problem. And it's, you know, it's hard to watch. It's hard to deal with. So I feel like I'm starting to feel like Sonia does have a problem and that they're making light of it because they're always like, oh, Sonia's wasted, Sonia's drunk. But it's like, she's always wasted and drunk.
Yeah.
I think that maybe she needs to take a look at herself. And I wonder if when she watches it, if she notices that about herself.
Maybe. I mean,
or maybe she's wasted and doesn't know what's going on.
Doesn't read the blogs, doesn't watch the show.
Well, her blogs, I feel, seem very pulled together and very poised and controlled and completely the opposite of how she is on the show. It only leads me to think that I think her interns are writing her blogs.
Well,
they must be. Somebody's got to be.
She doesn't necessarily. In her interviews, she seems pulled together
she
as
does.
Well.
You're right.
So she maybe isn't drunk all the time.
Maybe the cameras make her nervous.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. But she shows up drunk and she's calling this poor chef, Jean-Baptiste, this poor guy. Right. Sonia's like screaming at him for dipping sauce for these spring rolls. I mean,
she said, I've never had a more dry spring roll in my life. And I'm like, spring rolls are dry. Generally, spring rolls are very dry. In fact, they're fried. They're pretty dry.
Right.
You have to dip them in sauce for them not to be dry. So what are you talking about? And she had a plate full of sauce, didn't she?
Yeah. What was the bowl sitting next to it? What was that?
It looked like sauce for her to dip her spring roll into. And the other problem I had was when she and Ramona kept demanding pink wine. I mean, he brought them two glasses full of sparkling champagne and they said, we want pink wine.
Yeah.
Who turns down champagne?
Right, right. It is so rude. I hate the way that they treat the staff. I hate that. They treat, this is like Ramona was treating the cab driver last week. I hate it. I just you can tell so much about a person by the way they treat.
I agree. And both of them
serving them.
They both treat service industry people horrible. And then Sonia's hitting on the butler. She's hitting on Jean-Baptiste. Sonia's hitting on Ramona. I don't know. Sonia is very horny.
Yeah.
Or yeah, something.
Something.
So, what else do you want to say about the dinner? About the awkward moment with Heather and Sonia and Ramona? I mean, really, you're in St. Bart's, you're in paradise. You're going to bring up an argument?
About the toaster oven.
And as Carol kept joking, the toaster oven that never was. Like, no one's ever seen this toaster oven, yet it's always the topic of conversation.
She said, this is the most talked about toaster oven in the history of non-existent toaster ovens.
Exactly. That's an amazing quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrong time, wrong place. And on Heather's blog, she actually brings that up. She said, in retrospect, and when I was watching the show, I realized that was neither the time nor the place to bring it up, and that's why I kind of put a stop to the conversation. Now, when Ramona got up and left the table during that conversation, I thought that was interesting because Ramona, in her blog, said she got up and left the table because she wanted to try to make peace with Heather and didn't want to cause any drama. But was she not the one that started it at the dinner table? I feel like she was.
I don't remember. She definitely, if she didn't start it, she was definitely
fanning
the flames.
Adding fuel to fire. Yeah. What'd you call it? Fanning the flames.
Yeah.
Adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fire reference. Speaking of fanning the flames, you guys, we always love and appreciate everything that you do on iTunes, all of your ratings and comments, and that keeps us going and it fuels our fire. We do read them all and we really, really appreciate them. We appreciate your positive words and your words of encouragement. So please go to iTunes, rate and comment, tell a friend. It only takes a minute.
Thank you.
No problem. My pleasure.
So one last thing. I know we've been talking about this dinner for a while, but just one last thing. I felt so bad for Russ that meeting these women, and you know, he's a cool guy, he handled it well, but to have to meet Ramona and Sonia, drunk Ramona and drunk Sonia at the same time.
I feel like Ramona behaved herself. Sonia was blatantly, I felt personally that she was hitting on him and practically throwing herself on him. I mean, did you get that vibe?
To be fair though, like, he did have a penis.
Yeah.
Anything with a penis is fair game to Sonia.
Pretty much.
But yeah, Ramona definitely was trying, but she definitely was like, Carol, it's very special to us, so you are very special to us. And she's slurring her word. It was embarrassing.
It was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And Russ was so graceful.
Yeah.
He's cute.
Yeah.
He's really cute. He just seemed to have a cute personality. He seemed really sweet. And he was just kind of laughing. And I felt like he was just staring at Carol adoringly the whole time.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Yeah.
Go, Russ. We like you.
We do.
It's funny to me because in the beginning of the series, it seemed like Carol was not exactly calling Russ her boyfriend. Remember, she said, we kind of have an open relationship. We can date whoever we want. But it's so obvious that they're really into each other. I don't know why they don't just say that they're together.
I've experienced similar painful relationships. So I get it.
You get it?
I get it.
I guess I just don't get it. I'm not that hip, Carol. I don't understand these open relationship scenarios. So that's the first night. That pretty much sums it up. Sonia was drunk. Sonia was hitting on everyone. And did anybody even eat? I didn't even see Jean-Baptiste's food after the dry spring roll.
I didn't either. Everybody got up from the table.
Poor guy. He was slaving away all day in the kitchen. I have a feeling that Sonia may have had some hanky panky, right?
Yeah,
the best way to say that. So then we have the second day.
First thing in the morning, they're giving Carol heat about having Russ there on a girls' trip. It's a girls' trip, and I really like Carol was like, "Listen, I'm with you and your husbands all the time. Give me a break." I like that she just like drew a line in the sand really quickly. And
I agree. She said, "I never complain."
Yeah,
and she doesn't. You know, she's always like the third or fifth or seventh or ninth wheel at every scenario.
Right.
And that's not fun. I mean, God, give her a break, girls.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I like that.
And then Sonia says in her interview, while we're here, each of us are planning an activity. But that whole day seemed like it was planned by Sonia. Going to the beach in the morning, drinking a banana rum, which apparently makes your breasts grow, from what we learned.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that. That's science.
Everyone. Sonia is going to keep on telling herself that as she throws back the shots. Right. And then they head to dinner.
Right. At the discotheque.
Yeah.
Was there food there?
I don't remember them eating. They were doing tequila shots.
There were a lot of tequila shots, sparklers, pirates, burlesque dancing. I didn't remember any food.
It was like Cabo Wabo or one of those kind of Cancun spring break high school joints.
Yeah.
That I never was allowed to go to myself. But I suppose I could relive those days in St. Bart's as an adult.
I suppose so.
I found the whole part when they got into their pirate costumes and danced on the tables really embarrassing.
Oh.
I was thinking, first of all, if I were one of their children, I would want to die. I would be so embarrassed that that's my mother. Secondly, I just started to feel like, is this like Real Housewives of the Jersey Shore? What is this? I mean, it was just horrendous.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. If they were like at this level of, because I don't think that any of them sober would be like, yeah, like let's get in costume and get on the table. But you are in a place that it's not like you just got up on a table because you're so drunk. Like, you went back, you changed clothes, you came back at, like, you had time. You had time to be like, you know what? This isn't the best idea.
Yeah. You had time to sober up the second you put that pirate costume on, basically.
And I feel like, you know, they've been pushing these brands for 12 weeks before this. And I feel like that's all kind of gone down the drain now. Who wants to do business with any of these women now that they're in pirate costumes?
Well, I feel like Carol's coolness factor went a couple points down when I saw her dancing on the table. Because I was like, Carol, aren't you supposed to be too cool to, like, do this?
Right.
Heather, I was like, holy guacamole, look at your abs. We never saw Heather's abs before. Well, I guess we did in the bikini, but she has amazing. I mean, they all have amazing bodies.
Right.
These women don't look like they've ever given birth. That's for sure. They look amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all that dancing on tables.
Maybe.
It gives you rock hard abs.
Maybe.
I gotta give it a try.
And tequila drinking.
Yeah, tequila drinking. And then we're introduced to the man of the evening, Tomas.
Is it Tomas or Tomas?
Oh, Tom.
They call them like four things.
I think it's Tomas. I think the S. I never studied French myself, but I think the S is silent.
All right.
Wow. Okay, so he looks, as we learn from Luann over and over again, just like Johnny Depp.
I was going to say, for those of you who maybe haven't seen the episode yet, but for some reason are listening to this podcast, if you want to play a fun drinking game, you can take a shot every time Luann says Johnny Depp and be as hammered as Sonia, maybe more. It's ridiculous.
That sounds like a great drinking game.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Settle down, Luann. Settle down.
Oh, my God. She was in love. It was love at first sight. She saw him in that pirate costume and said, I'm in love.
All right. And why didn't she say he looks like Captain Jack Sparrow instead of Johnny Depp?
Because who remembers that guy's name? I didn't remember his name. I kept saying Johnny Depp, too. Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Only diehard fans, I guess. Or,
oh, wow. I take great offense to that. I'm not a diehard fan.
I'm joking. But wow, they got cozy. So this leads us into not only that night, but then the next morning.
Right.
Luann, okay, so the next morning they're in the kitchen, they're drinking their coffees, they're making their small talk, and Luann comes in looking very well dressed in her high heels and everything and says, oh, I just had a lovely evening with old Italian friends.
Right.
And all the women said, the least she could have done in her lie was say French friends, because we heard people speaking French, not Italian.
Right. My favorite, Carol said, I was awoken by two male voices. One was Luann.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like one of the best quotes of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luann does have that deep, manly voice.
I feel like after she's like looking at Heather like, yeah, isn't it crazy? My Italian friends. But she dug her hole
so deep
when she made that phone call.
Oh, to Jacques?
No. To her friend.
Oh, yeah.
Said, they can't know that he's here. You need to tell him that
he can't say anything.
Right.
Well, I think she also, first of all, when you're covering up a lie, it's, I think, normal to repeat it over and over again because you're, like, trying to prove to yourself and others what you're saying is true. And she kept saying it over and over. And then when she called Jacques in the morning, said, "Hi, honey, I miss you. I love you so much. Last night I had a great evening with Italians." Right. That was her remorse.
Right.
Immediate, you know, post-banana rum remorse.
Right.
Is really bad remorse, apparently. Because she, I mean, oh, my gosh. When she called him, I felt so bad for the guy.
Yeah, because... And that's, I don't know if it was editing, but that's all we heard her mention. There are a lot of other things she could have mentioned. Their day at the beach, whatever.
It's kind of humiliating for Jacques because it's so obvious something happened with her and Thomas. And I just feel like to be cheated on in front of all of America or all of Bravo anyways and AfterBuzz must be really embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean... It's one thing to put yourself on the show. These women put themselves on the show. They're victims. I guess their boyfriends and husbands default are signing up for it, too. Because I suppose if you were in a relationship and your husband didn't want to be a part of it, he would either A, never show up for filming, or B, you guys would probably split up.
Right. Well, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Big Papa never showed up. So
yeah.
It's doable.
It's doable. But Jacques has very much been a part of the show so far. And now he's been kind of publicly humiliated. And I feel a little bit bad for him. However, it seems like judging from what the women were saying about Luann, this is perhaps maybe not the first time Luann's character has slipped in these kinds of scenarios.
Well, there were rumors when she and the Count split up that they were both cheating. So that, you know, and she said on the phone, "I never change."
Right. That's true. Yeah, pretty shady when she called her friend and spoke in French about, okay, tell Thomas that when he comes here tonight that he can't say anything about having been here last night. It's like, Luann, did you not think that the editing department would get that that whole phone call translated?
Right. I mean...
Your secret's out, girl.
Yeah. Rip your mic off for a second.
Yeah.
Do rip something.
It off for a second.
What are you
I
doing?
Guess that's not allowed. Oh, my gosh. So... That morning after was, it was a morning after.
Yeah, it was.
Really bad. And then we find out via Skype that Aviva is coming.
Yes. With Reed.
With Reed. Okay, so my favorite was when Ramona said about Aviva coming. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
She clearly wasn't excited. She looked, that was so phony baloney.
Right.
I have to admit, when I found out Aviva was coming, I feel like if I were on the trip, I would be a little disappointed.
Why?
Because, first of all, because she's bringing Reed. I mean, I know that Carol has Russ there, but to me, that's like a get out of jail free card because A, he's her boyfriend, and B, they never see each other because he's always traveling.
Right.
Aviva gets to see Reed every single night. It is technically a girls' trip. I think that if I were one of the ladies and found out she was coming with her husband, I'd be a little peeved. Also, you know, when you kind of have your chemistry and your thing going on and then another person comes into the mix, sometimes it's...
Yeah.
Sometimes it's fun and sometimes you're kind of like, oh, we already have our thing going on.
Yeah.
But that's just being a seventh grader.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me. Fair.
Well, the thing that I will say in terms of being disappointed is that, you know, Aviva isn't a drinker. She's not a partier. So
she's not that fun. Sorry, Aviva. She's really not that fun, though, right?
No, I mean, she's great. And I think she's a great friend. But, you know, she's not going to go out and get hammered with them like this trip kind of is about, I think.
This trip is about, it's like spring break. It's about getting hammered, making out, dancing on tables, none of which Aviva...
Cheating on boyfriends.
Exactly.
Right.
It's just not Aviva's cup of tea.
Right.
So I guess we'll see what happens when she gets there. Now, all that being said, judging by the previews, it looks like some drama is definitely going to happen. So obviously it's going to be make for an enticing episode, that's for sure.
Looks incredible.
Which I liked about last night's episode. It was really part one of two. And
part one of three.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is exciting. And you guys, on September 11th, Tuesday, September 11th, looks like we're going to have Carol in the house. And she's going to talk about the St. Bart's drama, which I'm really excited about because by then it seems like all the St. Bart's drama will have been completed and we'll get the full spectrum of everything that's happened. I feel a little bit bad about feeling like I didn't want Aviva to come to the island.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel
but
bad.
But I think it's going to be good. It's going to make for good TV. Yeah, I wasn't there. It's not. Yeah. Well, it is real. Well, it's just not my life. And I have to remember that.
You did not invite her. It's okay.
That's true. That's true. So I think that we just about summed it up. Do you want to get into some news, gossip, and predictions?
Yeah, let's do that.
Awesome.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I think we might do our special segment before we do.
You want to do that?
However you want to do it, Molly.
Okay, let's do some news and gossip. Let's do some predictions in our special segment.
All right, let's do it like that.
Okay. News and gossip. So, Sonia made reference to Carol having done George Clooney.
Right.
On Carol's blog, she says, I don't kiss and tell, but he is a great kisser. So she clearly made out with George Clooney.
Right.
Although when you Google it at length, like I did last night, you can't really find any pictures of them dating or anything. But obviously something happened.
Right.
Which is, I think, pretty cool.
Yeah. Clooney's like it.
He is.
Right.
So go Carol. I mean, she's just getting endless.
Yeah, Carol's getting cooler every day.
Cooler.
She really is.
And then Luann said on Twitter that Jacques and she are very much still together. So regardless of what happened in St. Bart's with cheating, they're still going strong.
Yeah, I saw that too. I read on Celeb Buzz today that Luann said, you know, the lesson learned here is to not tell a fib because then you have to follow through with it and it snowballs. So what actually happened, she's saying, is that she did bring Thomas back, but it was just because he gave her a ride and it was to give him a tour of the house. Mm. Yeah, right, Luann, because that's what every man wants in the middle of the night is a tour of the house.
That's amazing.
I bet.
That's great. Yeah. I love that. Yep, just what men love. They love architecture in the middle of the night more than anything else.
Did she turn any lights on? I mean... She's such a liar.
That is great. It's such a horrible lie. And it's such a horrible lie that it's borderline insulting because it's like, really, do you think anyone believes that?
Right. And, I mean, why lie about the Italian guys? Why tell your friend to tell him to, I mean,
she's it was a mess.
Yeah.
She's dug a deep, deep hole for herself.
She had sex with that dude.
Yeah. Sorry. And I wonder if he wore the pirate hat. Anyway, predictions for next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, obviously, there's going to be a big blowout between Aviva, Ramona, and Sonia. And I also predict that Ramona and Sonia are going to be completely rude and inappropriate to Reed.
Yeah.
And that's also going to cause drama. And I would love to see Thomas' actual girlfriend come into this.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that comes up.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Some drama with the girlfriend.
But only after Sonia also sleeps with him.
Well, that's the thing. I think Sonia's going to.
Yeah.
Thomas looks like he's game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his big break. He's a handsome Frenchman. He lives on an island where Hollywood doesn't come there often. I mean, to film anyways, I guess.
Right.
So this is his big break. I also predict that Russ is not going to be coming around the house anymore. I think he had his fill. He and Carol, I'm sure, will spend time with each other, but off the premises, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Don't you just have a feeling like it's not his thing?
I hope so, for his sake.
For his sake, exactly. We want to get into our special segment real quick as well, what she should have said. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
So when Russ came to meet these ladies at dinner, Sonia kept going on, were you nervous to meet all of Carol's friends? We were anxious to meet, you know, your Carol's man. And what she should have said was Carol.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. I love that.
And then the other one was at the beach. Ramona kept saying, I've got Spilkish. Is that what it's called? Isn't that a Jewish thing? And what she was trying to say is I'm Schwitzen.
Oh.
But what she should have said was, it's a good rule of thumb to, if you don't know what you're talking about, to just not say it. And sweating doesn't only apply to Jews.
Well said. Yeah. And who was she? Who was Jewish? Because she said, you're Jewish, aren't you? And then they cut to somebody.
Aviva. Oh, no. Aviva wasn't there. Yeah,
right.
Heather is married to a Jew.
Right. That's probably, right. As she said,
Jewish by injection.
Yeah. Gross. It grossed us all out. One of the things that Ramona also said at the beach was, what's up with this wind? And what she should have said was, oh, I like the breeze. We're at the beach. Wind is normal. Yeah. And another one was when they were all at the pirate booty restaurant, whatever, discotheque. Heather looked around and said, everyone has such great asses. And what she should have said was, everyone has such great asses. I should have the model for Yummy Tummy. I don't know. Not really that funny, but I thought it was at the time. And Ramona, when she found out Aviva was coming, said in her very fake voice, oh, that's so exciting. And what she should have said was, I wish she weren't coming. Just
because that's what she meant.
That's what she meant.
Yeah.
With her super fake words. So, you guys, I am your host, Molly Harper. You can follow me on Twitter at Molly Comedy. And this is Anna Koppel.
I'm Anna Koppel. You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor. And that's it.
And we'll see you next week, you guys. And we're looking forward to having our co-host back with us. Bing.com. And in two weeks, we'll have Carol Radziville join us as well.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.